When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I had started to do this show and put out information on the electronic voice phenomena, the things that I've captured as I'm doing the shows and then inadvertently removed because I thought they were quirks that were interfering. Come to find out, no, actually, there might have been some participation from the crowd here. And that's what I want to get into this time, the ghosts. And more of that, other energetic abilities that we have and may or may not be aware of. Because as we're going through life, it isn't taught in certain cultures. And until you experience it yourself and maybe have to do your own due diligence, then you don't even have a frame of reference for it. And I'll get into this later, mesmerism, that's one. The other thing is dealing with psychics and the impact that can have, even if you don't buy into it, the impact that having that connection might have on you because of our imagination. Imagine that. Yeah. Imagination all of a sudden. Also, the ability that each of us has and our desire to have it proven by an external event where somebody else says, yes, you are accurate, you're doing this, you're okay. Having that validation and how important that can be, or understanding that that validation doesn't make it okay. It doesn't make you a proficient psychic, a recognized psychic, or even a valued and somehow perceived successful psychic. Your own abilities are yours. Some people choose to mask that. Others choose to capitalize on it and even profit from it. The choice is extremely personal. Some of the things that I have been exposed to have encouraged or given me insight that I needed to be more conscious of what I was telling others in terms of a psychic ability, insight. Whatever you put out comes back to you. And if the intent is an expectation, in other words, a quid pro quo, I expect something in reference to me giving you something for nothing or an exchange. If I'm doing it because it's just something I can do and there's no expectation, it's something that is seen as a gift. Or if I'm doing it as a service and I expect something in exchange for this service, there's a whole different energy that goes along with that. And recently, it's been helpful because because of a death in the family. Andy's father died. And I don't always do the medium thing, but I can do it sometimes. It isn't that I don't, how do I put this? It isn't, to me, something that I see as necessary. It's helpful, and it can be helpful sometimes. And it's also, in some ways, depending on if I don't know the people and I'm expected to pass along a word, it can be intrusive, especially if that person or those that community doesn't believe it. So I keep it to myself. And there are sometimes when it's been, it's like an inadvertent expectation. Well, you can do this, so why don't you? Well, because sometimes if you can, it doesn't mean you should. So each person has to come to terms with this on their own time, in their own way. I wanted to address this because I see a lot of insight from others about how they're doing their practicing with their own PSI psychic abilities and how they address this. And so it's inspired me to say, okay, this is what has happened for me. One of the things that, you know, you might have read or seen, it's know thyself. And we spend our entire lives learning and growing and evolving. What I knew at 20 isn't what I knew at 40 or what I know now. It's different. It has evolved. It has changed. My abilities have increased, but that doesn't mean I intend to use them. It means I am aware that I have access to more information because I have studied, because I have grown, because I have matured, and I have allowed certain things to go by the wayside because I discovered they really weren't that important. One of those is the accolades. You're very good at this. It's wonderful to hear feedback. And when you understand that what you have given somebody was important to them, there are no words for the feeling that comes with that, knowing that, thank you, I've achieved something, I've helped somebody. And that doesn't go away. But the need to prove it is what goes away. The need for that external valuation of an ability that's a natural ability is no longer as important. And that for me is what has faded with time. But I've also learned that there are other people who have these abilities and they will never show you. They will not tell you. They will practice. And it's up to you to discern. And that's an important word, at least in my language and in my understanding, to discern whether or not it is important for you to let everybody know the extent of your abilities, how good you are, how proficient you are, how accurate you are. And some days, just like everything else, you will be better. And it may have to do with the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, all that stuff that, you know, tends to be made light of, that does have an influence on us because we are beings who exist almost as water beings, and we are influenced by certain elements in our environment, just like plants, just like animals. Everything else here relies on things that we can't always explain. So we just put it into one word, energy. I read a book recently that helped me define some of the things that I had dealt with. The Life of a Russian Psychic, Voyages Through Space and Time. Now, she chose to remain anonymous. She did not want any of this information coming out until after she died. That was to protect her family and others that she might have had contact with. And her whole point was saying that she had been, throughout her entire lifetime, documenting, journaling, writing down the experiences that she had to share them, and just to let others know in case they had these abilities and didn't understand them and took them for granted, or they weren't valued, or they were shunned, which has happened, that they would know they weren't alone. When I started working channeling 25 years more ago, one of the first things that I learned working with my guides, we always have contact with higher resources, information. That energy is present and available. And people work with other spirits, whether it's elementals, animal spirits. Information comes from all sources. And I was able to, through working with the guides, expand my horizons, expand my understanding, my awareness. And one of the things that was at the very onset given to me was the need to educate myself about other cultures and how they dealt with certain types of religious and spiritual beliefs. And there is no one better or worse. They are all part of and come from a source that humans can tap into. So everything goes away. The culture, the race, the bias, all of that goes away. The one thing we are is a human being. Our species is unique, and we have assets, and we have abilities, we have gifts. We also have hardships, and we have challenges, we have obstacles, we have hurdles. We have something that's termed psychology that we have to figure out. Biology is another element we have to figure out. And again, it goes to, if you can, doesn't mean you should. And you go back to discernment. Is it okay for me to offer this piece of information? How can I be helpful? Is it helpful? And those are things, again, going back to each of us has to work with that. I have experienced karma. And it was an incident where I had been attacked. And my response in my way of thinking was, if I take this person out, if I harm this person who has attempted to harm me, then I will do a service to others by reducing that person's ability to attack someone else. The minute I had the opportunity, because I had an extraordinary, unusual, overwhelming ability with the strength that I was given in that moment. And this was like, you hear stories of a person being able to pick up a car because of the circumstances. My ability at that point for me was a superhuman strength beyond my ability that allowed me to throw the person off of me. And then I knew I could, if I attacked this person, that they would fall off the balcony. And it was a long drop to a cement landing. So it wasn't going to be a happy ending. And immediately, as I thought about this movement I was going to make, I was very, very sternly warned, karma. And it was loud enough, I thought the person could have heard it. It didn't seem to phase that person. But at that point, I stopped. I pulled back and I let the person walk beside me and down and out into the night. That one word gave me proof. Karma is real. And what I was given from the spirit response was that, and it's amazing because I've heard this in a film, you know, that everything is now equal, that all debts have been paid. So in some way, shape, or form, I was to have this experience. I was to understand from being in that position that this is what can happen. And there was a transaction that was taking place between these two souls, mine and the perpetrator. And if I took it to the next level, I would become the attacker. That person had attacked me. And from the language that I was given, he had assumed I was the person who lived in the apartment previous because the hair color was wrong. It was dark. So, okay, wrong person, wrong time. And then it was no harm, no foul. Well, how, you know, in my logical mind and the way I do math, how would you interpret being attacked was an okay thing? It didn't matter that it was a mistaken identity. I was the victim of an attack. And there are no accidents. For me, it gave me a chance, for one thing, to understand karma is real. And my response, getting that superhuman power in that moment to get out of it, was awesome, unbelievable. I don't know how I did it. I was given an assist, a divine assist. Why? I don't know, except that that was on my ticket. That was my experience. The death in the family has been bringing more awareness of the ghosts around me. And reading the book, again, from the psychic recently, has also given me validation that this extends beyond my personal culture to other cultures. And it's so helpful now to be able, for me, I am not multilingual. It's helpful for me to understand experiences from other cultures. And I've done a lot of reading throughout the years, trying to understand how other cultures deal with metaphysics, with spiritual elements, with plant medicine. I have never done those kinds of things, but I know they exist. And I know for some people, they are extremely helpful because they take you out of your personal, everyday, myopic, small view of the world. Your tunnel vision, the things that, you know, in our lifetimes, we are exposed to so very little because this is such a huge world and so many realities to explore, understand, navigate. But coming back to that and knowing that there are other ways to view the world. And with mine, it's been through spiritual experiences, through metaphysical transformations and transcendence, that I've had these encounters with other beings, with other times and planes of existence. And so that's been extremely helpful for me without the drugs. That wasn't necessary. This just happened. And there are some people who say, well, you've had a Kundalini awakening. You've had, there's another Shaktipat, Diksha, these other things that say you've had a transcendence from, that puts you in a state beyond the physical, normal 9-to-5 awareness, the daily drive, whatever. It helps to have had that because I know it exists. And because I know other people are also experiencing this, and we have different words, and our cultures really divide us because the language doesn't always translate. I mean, there are some languages that have 50 words for one instance, whether it's rain or happiness. There's all these language barriers that we have to jump over. And that's how, for me, when I channel, it's... One of those things I am concerned about is getting the right word, especially the right name. And I've talked about that before. Well, this is a recent experience. When Andy's father died and his sister came up to the funeral and spent some time with us, then she had a vision and an experience as she was driving through a part of the country. And she said, the language was the ancestors. You're bringing the ancestors with you. And she's driving through a part of the country, so I didn't know about this. When I talked to her, I said, this is so-and-so, and this is the name. And then I look up the name, because I needed a context for it. And that name actually existed in a part of the country that she had been driving through, and is part of her ancestral, and Andy's, my husband, ancestral history. So it was an accurate name that made no sense to me, had no relevance, but it gave them a context to be able to connect the dots. And since that time, it always happens for me when there is a death that is near to me, whether it's my grandmother, two grandmothers. I've had experiences, one knowing that the one was at the very end of her time, and I saw her writing with blood on the wall. It was a dream. And I saw her in a bed, and she was writing, using her fingers to write on the wall. I did not see a word, but I knew at that point I had about 3 weeks before, and I needed to be there. It was basically calling me home to acknowledge that she was transitioning. And another grandmother, after she transitioned, I was in intense grief. She gave me information about songs that she wanted at her funeral, and the purpose of that, I didn't find out until later how intensely involved she was with this entertainer. She really was a huge fan. And later in her life, when it was hard for her to walk, she managed to go to a huge venue and be there in the audience. Well, I'd met the fan when I was working in radio years ago, not the fan, but the star, George Strait, okay? I Only Want to Dance With You was the name of the song that she wanted played. And it really addressed her as a person, about her shyness and her abilities and dancing. She loved to dance. So the things I learned after she died, with the information that she gave me, was amazing, extraordinary. And not only that, about 3 days after she died, I had intense grief, and I felt this wonderful, wonderful energy that just made me, you know, inside, I can only describe it as a pink energy, and I felt this before in different ways, and it's consistent. It's a love energy, and it's a buoyancy you feel all of a sudden, like something has just come inside and infused you with this wonderful essence of harmony and of peace, of joy. And so I got that. But with this other information, I also remember when I was first starting out as a channel, as an intuitive, and doing this, I was given from my guides a warning. And I didn't take it as a negative. I took it as a, introduce yourself to this. And what they said was, you need to know this. Well, so that's kind of a real clue that I need to introduce myself. I guess the language was a clue. You need to study mesmerism. This is something that you need to know. So I decided to figure out how to understand and learn about mesmerism. Now, this is something, a practice, a technique that's named after Franz Anton Mesmer. And it was practiced in the 1800s. And the definition, using techniques like eye gazing, fascination, passes, and they call it stroke, and other methods to instate trance and affect the body's energy field. Okay, so in other words, if somebody is touching you, they're trying to manipulate, somehow contact and imprint or express an element of control on your energy. So this is intentional. It's a method of engaging you with their touch. And it can be, again, eyes, non-physical touch, but an expression of connection. That's energy. Turns out, after I had learned the information I needed from mesmerism, I went to an event at a local church. And one of the greeters at that church came up to me very enthusiastic, very happy, and immediately took my hand, you know, just that shaking hands, which I've learned more about that. And different cultures practice handshakes differently, that you might be one of those that understands what this is about.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
When I took the hand, I felt this energy start zooming up my arm from his hand. I stopped it at my elbow. As I shook his hand and he shook mine, I said, "You are incredibly gifted, and I'm sure that when you practice this, you do it with permission from the other person." He stopped, and he kept his eye on me through the remainder of the service. But I stopped that energy. I wondered after that, I didn't continue going to the church. I wondered how many people there knew what he was doing, and if the others also practiced that without telling anyone. Because the whole thing about that was it was like an attack. And it was completely and totally invisible because it was a transmission of energy. And it was so helpful that my guides had prepared me for that, that I knew basically it was allowing me to call him on what he was doing and saying, "Some people may know what you're up to, fella." And it isn't necessary for me to go around and tell everybody. But it was helpful for me to understand that this is possible. Now, in terms of telling other people what you are good at or showing other people what you can do, there's a caveat. Because sometimes you give away the farm. In other words, sometimes it's too much information because you have exposed yourself or put yourself in a position where you can be vulnerable to another who has not only a better ability, a better gift, but an intention to give you, like I did with him, a lesson. Well, so just how much do you know, Cupcake? In this field, there are people who are incredibly competitive, and they have to be the best. They have to be, everybody knows they are number one. There are others who are incredibly gifted and incredibly talented and capable and extraordinary, and you'll never know it. What is my point? Treat everyone with respect. Allow that each is here with a purpose. And sometimes your purpose is just to know and not to tell. Just to be and not to show. And then understand when it is helpful to tell. And right now, I'm telling. I am adequate in my abilities. I am comfortable with my ignorance. I am learning, and I'm okay with that. What I want you to know in this sharing, if you have these abilities, you are not alone. And sometimes when you improve your abilities, you're able to open the door to the next room. Never assume that room is empty. Assume you have been given a gift. You have been given a chance, an opportunity to join those who have come before and those who are welcoming you, who are congratulating you and saying, you finally made it. We've been waiting. Game on. Because then the challenges start again. You're in a new room with new associates, new abilities, and new hidden insights. I ask my husband to be present with me because when I channel, which is kind of what I'm doing right now, it helps me to have him here to ground me. And he has done that on many occasions when I go into a place where there are ghosts and experience things that I can't explain, but I have to figure out on the fly. What is happening? What does this mean? How can I help? And that's it. What is happening? What does this mean? And how can I help? And every culture will interpret these events differently. What I read about recently that really struck a chord and was extremely helpful was why the future might not be what you think, because it has a different meaning for different cultures. And for the Western societies, we speak of time. The future is in front of us. The future is coming. For other societies, the future might be behind because it hasn't happened. It is coming, and the past is in front. And we are learning from all of the past, and so the past is in front. And left, right, depending on how your culture interprets that. But it's really important because then when we try to express our reality and our experiences, our language may be different, our perceptions may be different. So understanding that we all come from a common plane of existence, of awareness, called humanity. And as humans, we are all challenged to understand how this reality works for us. And some people have an incredibly different experience of reality. They can shapeshift. They can travel through time. They can see the future. They can access the past. They have abilities that they may or may not be upfront about. And understanding that as we connect through whether it's the internet, in person, through performances, makes us more, I believe, conscious in our living experience. Because then we're able to increasingly understand the differences that give us value and give us purpose and give us independence from being caught up in a construct that is artificially presented to us to give us a sense of a schedule. Every day this happens. Every day this is what I do. And I get into a zombie phase of every day this is all that is required of me. So this is all I can do and all I will do. If you go back and rewrite that and say, every day is a new day. What will I learn today? What can I do today? The limits have just been removed. Because the construct is what you make it, what you allow it to be, not necessarily what is presented to you. And that's where that time element comes in. If I see the future in front of me, well, do I really see the future? I'm seeing everything that has happened and re-examining that. because the future has yet to be written. The future has yet to be brought forward. The future is anything is possible, and my limits have disappeared. Maybe you can see why I decided not to do the show about EVPs. I had too much information to work with. So when we went on a trip recently, we stayed in a place that I really felt incredibly comfortable in. And the first night, I slept in the living room because I just felt comfortable. I slept in the living room and I put a blanket over my head. And I heard at some point, the body has been covered with a blanket. Okay, that's interesting. Well, I realized, okay, I've got company. And they're making a comment on what I have chosen to do. The body has a blanket over it. Okay, so if I were, you know, a crime writer or something, I would be thinking, okay, there's been a death in the family. No, that was me. And the ghosts were commenting on what I chose to do with that. That was entertaining. The nightlight had also asked, take me. So, and it was really blinking, just going gangbusters. So I did take the nightlight, plugged it in. I can put a video up of that. It does travel. Right now, it's in intermittent mode where it stays off, conserving its energy, which is what it likes to do. The nightlight, by the way, is an entity. Okay, I understand it's an entity, but the nightlight is what speaks to me, and that's the language I use. The energy of the nightlight is my companion and has been for 26 years. As a matter of fact, we're going to get another birthday here in December. What happened with that, too, is that then Andy's mom came over to visit. And as we're talking, just sitting at this dining room table of this place, it was funny because she said, somebody walked by the door. There was a shadow walked by the door. Well, there was no way for anybody to walk by the door. This was the front door facing a lake, facing the water, and there was no one out there. For one thing, she wasn't quite sure what she saw, but she knew she saw someone walking by. And the shadow was white, which a shadow is not white. And it also let me know that, yes, they're there, and they were talking about me doing my special thing, putting the blanket over my head. So these things have been happening, and I've been more conscious of them because, for me, this time of year is a very active time of year after All Saints Day. And it happened with my grandfather. I began to become more aware of this time of year being active. I just took it for granted earlier. And, you know, you can read everything about the culture saying that Halloween time, the fall time is active. I've always loved the fall because of the smell of the leaves and the transition between the seasons. It's a very invigorating time. Seeing the colors, the vibrant colors and the changing of the leaves and smelling the ground as the leaves begin to decay, transform. And the animals, the behavior of the animals, getting their fall coat. It's just an amazing, amazing time. But coming into this and saying, what do I want to talk about? I want to talk about we are never alone. I mean, you can look all around you and see nothing, or you can look all around and see possibilities and potentials and friends, and the landscape will come alive for you. And that's what has happened with my nightlight. It wasn't about the light. It was about the connection. And people have tried to describe information in a way that contains it to a linear perspective. And that's where we lose out, because what I have experienced, none of this is linear. And there are some experiences I've had that I can't even talk about in words because they don't make sense. And they don't exist in my culture and maybe in others. But there are other people who've had these experiences, and that's how I connect with them, because they value these anomalous awarenesses, these anomalous encounters, events, engagements. And so in the podcast library, I've tried to highlight that and highlight people who bring that to the equation. At one point, I wasn't sure. Was I supposed to channel for masses? Was I supposed to get a group and have, you know, all sorts of people come to me for readings? And it didn't seem that that was important. I figured out I could do it. And I did have events and show up at events. And I still do that on some occasions for some people. But it isn't my primary focus. My primary focus is continuing to learn about all of these abilities, all of these gifts, all of these amazing experiences that people have had, and some have been too shy to tell, or too, in some ways, shamed to tell. And I don't know why, for certain, the Russian psychic chose to be clandestine about her experiences. I can understand and appreciate it, because in some cultures, you are persecuted, or you are put on a pedestal and forced to perform at a level that you are uncomfortable, because you can, so why don't you? If you can, you should, you must. And that isn't part of this. Part of this is you, for an individual, must come to terms with what your purpose is, what your role is. Why are you here? Why am I here? What do I do? How can I help? And how I can help is help people connect the dots with their own abilities and to understand if there's someone on the program that I've interviewed who does something incredibly unique, it's because you might be able to do that or know someone else who does that, and you're not alone. And if you know someone who does, who's been shy, who's been ostracized or shamed because of their abilities and told they're crazy, they're nuts. Gaslighting is a part of that. And I've been around people who've tried to say, you can't do this, and proven them wrong. But it wasn't to prove them wrong. It was to prove to myself that I could. And the bottom line, in most cases, is proving it to yourself. Once that is done, everything else is icing on the cake. And I am so fortunate because I have someone who believes in me and someone who helps me without question. Now, he might be concerned if I get too exuberant and over-enthusiastic and continue to drone on. I'm looking at him now. He's like, He allows me to learn and to grow and encourages me. So today, as he sits with me while I do this story, because he doesn't like the sound of his voice, he doesn't want to do that. I can just say that that is very much appreciated. And not everyone has that kind of support. It's helpful to have a partner day in and day out who knows that sometimes this isn't easy. It's challenging. And you don't want to hurt somebody with something that you know and you can't share. So when I understood that karma was a part of all of this, then I knew it was important for me to understand that sharing is something that we each have to come to terms with in our own way, in our own time, in our own mind. You have gifts. You can choose to bring them forward, to practice, to learn, to grow, or to say, not at this time. And maybe not this lifetime. Things are changing incredibly fast. So thank you for listening. I just felt it was important to address the ghost in the room. What do you believe? Because that's what you take forward. And that's the biggest hurdle. Understanding and believing. There's one story I wanted to share that has to do with beliefs, okay? And I think this is the kicker. It's called A Drink from the Cup. It was published February 1916, the first issue of New Era magazine. It was an African-American periodical. And it was a second publishing effort by Pauline Hopkins, former editor of Colored American magazine, first monthly periodical aimed at an African-American readership. She was also an author and journalist in her own right, and her partner was a founder of Colored American magazine, Walter Wallace. It only lasted two issues. This information came from a blog that I follow. Here we go. I am paraphrasing. I won't read this. And I want you to, you know, to know that that's, it's paraphrased. And so you can read it yourself. But it has to do with a story. And on this blog, you will find it in a PDF file. A fortune from an unknown source, but not intended for you, and you will not live long to enjoy it. That is what the psychic told this person. For some reason, this person was induced with the need to consult Madame Cooler, the most popular spiritualist and palmist in New York, to figure out if his fortune would increase. He was having a really down time. So he went there and he got that fortune. She said, In not many moons, you will receive a handsome fortune from an unknown source. This fortune was not intended for you, so you will not live long to enjoy it. Okay, so there's the prophecy. And again, this is the story I'm paraphrasing from A Drink from the Cup by J.I. Moorhead. Okay, I don't have any other information about the author. Again, 1916 publication. Apparently, the fortune comes true because he's been given like an inheritance, and he makes a friend of another guy now that he's doing better with his fortune, an old bachelor, well enough that they have valets or personal servants. He has this gold flask that's a gold flask that seems to be very important to him. He's holding on to that, and so he offers the guy a drink. So the guy, well, okay. So he takes a drink, and they're both drinking from this flask. And then all of a sudden, he says he feels really, really awful. Awful. It's just like he gets up. He's like, oh, gosh, he's going to leave. The guy says, well, wait a minute. Sit back down, and I'll tell you about where this wine came from. And the guy begins to tell him a story that he was in Mexico. And they were camping out. This is at some point on the journey back home. They rode into a little town near the American border, and they had a smelting plant, a commissary, a half a dozen frame houses, and there were a lot of little huts. It was quiet. There was no activity. Then all of a sudden, from a place you couldn't see in the trees, beyond the trees, there was a commotion. Well, there's a train. So the train pulls up, and then the town comes alive. Before there was nobody there. All of a sudden, the town is alive. Well, they've been waiting for the train. And so they're throwing roses, they're throwing flowers, everything, all sorts of stuff they can at this guy who's doing a presentation from the train, the platform. They're dancing, and they're doing all sorts of celebrating and throwing wine, this is a kind of a poverty-stricken area. And so he said they went to go look to see what everything was, you know, what all this was about. The hero of the occasion, whoever they were celebrating, came out to the stage, and so they could see them. And at one point, he's standing up close to this platform, and a man hands him, an elderly gentleman hands him this gold flask and says, please put this on the stage. Well, he's seeing everything there that's just like, you know, a pile of abundance. And so he says he moves aside to make it kind of unclear whether or not he kept it, just did a surreptitious movement. And then everybody dispersed. And as he's walking away, he said, a young woman comes up to him, and she's gorgeous. She's a teenager, and she has beautiful long black hair with little gray streaks in her black hair. And she says, beware of yourself. Let not the contents of that holy bottle cross your lips. It was not meant for you. And he who partakes thereof, unless it was intended for him, is doomed to immediate destruction. He was going to respond, but she was already gone, and he never saw her again. He said, at first, he was afraid to even keep that stolen wine. But then he thought, well, there was nowhere to get rid of it. So he decided to hang on to it. And he said, somehow, there was a sense of adventure, and he thought, well, he would just go ahead and try it. And he said, friend, you may be assured it was a great pleasure to have you drink of this fatal cup with me. Well, okay, that was a gift and an ungift at the same time. So the guy is super obviously inebriated from drinking whatever this is. And he said he felt a little weak, and he was out of that room. He went back to his room and crashed. Well, the next morning, he hears them at the door. They're saying, please, please come with me. And the attendant, the valet, for the other man has come to fetch him. And of course, at this time, he's concerned. He's frightened because that was a fatal cup of wine. He's heard the story. This is not going to end well. The psychic also told him, you know, that this was a bad deal for him. So he goes upstairs, and sure enough, the other guy who gave him the drink is gone. He's deceased. And they call the doctor. And he knows this is not going to end well for him. So he does everything. And he says, I gave up all hopes for life, fell into a deep sleep. And before he fell into a sleep, he thought, he got his valet, and he went ahead and he put in writing all of the things that he had had, like stocks and bonds, and then he also made out a check and sent it to the orphanage that had raised him and sent it back there. So it's about $170,000. This is 1916 when this story was published. So that's a big sum of money. Okay. So when he felt himself just getting sicker and sicker by the moment, the doctor finally shows up and he said, and I'm reading this to you, I can assume that you will go read this for yourself if you would like. Again, I'm paraphrasing, and it's written much better than me speaking it to you. Long story short, this is how it goes. So in other words, I'm spoiling the ending. He said, I found myself in the hands of my patient old doctor and a nurse who were busy injecting something into my arm. The dreadful headache had left, and once more, I felt absolutely normal. But I did ask the doctor, as soon as I opened my eyes, how much longer? The doctor said, what? Have I to live? All the remainder of your life, the doctor kind of chuckled. It's just a little excitement. After a quiet rest, you'll be okay. So that answer, he said, was a surprise, and it made him angry. He told him what had happened during the night, and the doctor said, yeah, well, you brought the excitement on yourself. You imagined it. And he said the other guy that he had examined, it was just a regular old heart attack that killed him. See, this is about belief. Belief trumps everything. So if you buy into something, you will go down with a ship. If you give yourself an out and ask for help, you can rise above it. Belief is huge. But what is bigger is to know you have help from a higher source, no matter what you believe. And this is the thing that I put on one of my pictures at home. I may be little, but my angels are big. Hey, thanks for listening. Links are in the description for the show. I'll link this story so you can read it. See ya.